From the Mercy One Studio.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you. Join Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Also tune in Sundays at 10:30 a.m. for Be Not Afraid in Spanish on Iowa Catholic Radio. Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning. Welcome to Iowa Catholic Radio. 11:50 a.m., 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Be not afraid. Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning.
Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grant us, O Lord, we pray, that the course of our world may be directed by your peaceful rule, and that your church may rejoice, untroubled in her devotion, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, this week, it's an ordinary time.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, how we can manage this transition from Easter time versus ordinary time. Ordinary means simple.
No, the word ordinary in the church's liturgical life really refers to ordinal. So if you think like when you're a kid and you learn your ordinal numbers, that isn't 1, 2, 3, 4. It's first, second, third, fourth.
Okay.
So they're the counting numbers. In the old days, ordinary time wasn't really its own proper season. It was just the space between seasons. And in a certain way, that's still kind of the case, except that because ordinary time follows both after Easter, after the Easter season's ended, and then after the Christmas season has ended, it's sort of a season that takes place in two places.
Okay.
And so you pause the counting at the end of the period after Christmas, and then restart in the period that we're beginning now.
What is the meaning of the tradition about sprinkling water during the Easter season and using incense also for Easter seasons and some of the solemnities? It's usually to use the same both in ordinary time.
So the question of incense and water are distinct but related. The water question, right? So the use of holy water, especially outside Mass, is ancient and happens all the time, all the places, right? And especially in our time right now, where holy water was gone from most people's lives for a long time, probably not a bad idea to bring it back. In the old days, the holy water was blessed every Sunday before the principal Mass, and then the sprinkling rite would happen immediately before Mass begins. The church wanting to connect more clearly the sprinkling rite, the use of holy water with baptism, associates it with the season of baptism, which is Easter, and so it's most appropriate to do that during Easter. But it's not wrong, and there could certainly, like, if you were having a baptism after Mass or doing something like that, there could be all kinds of reasons to use the sprinkling rite during ordinary time as well. The use of incense, the church has the most liberal laws regarding incense now as it ever has.
Okay.
So it really is at the discretion of the priest and under the direction of the parish priest, the pastor, to figure out what's going to add the greatest degree of solemnity to the place that he's at. But incense is used to signify solemnity. So it would be weird, like, to use incense at a Tuesday daily Mass and do it at all the times you could and then never to use it on a Sunday. Like, that wouldn't make very much sense, right? Most places have a kind of principal Mass, the bigger one, where there's often more music and more ministers assisting and that kind of thing. It's most appropriate in those kind of situations, but it can be varied throughout.
We used to use the term pontifical Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And light Mass versus?
Mm-hmm. So the gradations of Mass, right, were low mass, Mass, high Mass, and then a pontifical high Mass. And we still have pontifical Masses in a certain sense. Whenever the bishop or somebody who has the right to wear pontificals, like an abbot or somebody like that, it's still a pontifical Mass. But their job actually got a lot easier because the rules used to be much more strict about how a bishop would say Mass even when he was saying low Mass. And now that's all been kind of collapsed so that there's just sort of Mass and then you can add stuff to make it fancier.
Okay.
That's kind of the move. Is in the old days there was this very high ideal and you would reduce from the ideal. Now there's like a kind of a very low bar and you can add to the bar.
So very, very eloquent. Now we move in from the very brilliant and eloquent Easter season now in this ordinary time. We're moving into that Trinity, the most holy Trinity, solemnity or festivity?
Yeah, it's a solemnity, and Trinity Sunday always falls on this Sunday following the end of Eastertide. And it's not properly part of the Easter season, but it does sort of end that cycle, right? So you have the return of the Lord to heaven and the descent of the Holy Spirit upon us, and so now the Trinity is sort of stabilized in the relationships that we know them in, and so Trinity Sunday has historically marked. Its function kind of like Memorial Day does in the States for people in Western Europe, because it's usually the end of the school term.
Perfect. So the mystery of the Holy Trinity, how we can describe an intimate relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's very eloquent from the beginning of the Mass, the sign of the cross, mm-hmm. invited the Holy Trinity, and also the ending of the Mass as well.
Yeah, so the whole of Christian worship, everything we ever do or say, if we're doing it authentically in accord with the Church's teaching and the received tradition, it's all worship of the Blessed Trinity. But the great revelation of God that Jesus made known to us is that God in himself is absolutely as one as the Jews of old understood him to be, and also multiple. And the multiplicity is important because that's what allows for this kind of bedrock teaching of Jesus for God to be love. God is love isn't a kind of schlocky, hallmarky, God is the most pleasant feeling I can have. Rather, God exists in relationship, and especially in relationship with God's self, which I think is a teaching very important today when so many people struggle with self-esteem, with a sense of self-worth, that there is a rightful sort of self-love in light of being God's creation that we need to have. And it's not anti-Christian to do that, but that it's got to be ordered love. And that's what makes the love of the Trinity perfect, is that it is perfectly ordered to the good of the other.
To the good of the other. And also we can looking for one God or one divinity, because sometimes that terms of divinity, it's misunderstood in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as well.
Right. So the way to think about that, right, is that our categories, the category of divinity is distinct from the category of humanity. And ultimately, the divinity of God reveals the true humanity of man.
Iowa Catholic Radio. Be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. That's blessmaninternational.org. Thank you, Blessman International, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid. We talking about the Holy Trinity. And at the same time, Father PJ, it's important to describe that two human persons, may I say that, the Father could be understood as a human, the Son understood as a human, and what about the Holy Ghost?
So humanity, in the sense of the property of being a man, would belong in this sense only to the Son.
Only to the Son.
But the personhood, in some ways, this is important to know. The word personhood gets invented to talk about this.
Okay.
So in Arabic, there is classically no word for person, and it's because it was too associated with Christian language of the Trinity.
Oh.
So it was the word persona pre-exists in Greek, and it refers originally to the masks that that theater actors would use to change characters. So in ancient Greek theater, you wouldn't change costume and makeup. You would put a different mask in front of your face when you were playing a different character. And that's where the word persona originally comes from. So the fathers of the church originally adopt that language to talk about the persons of the Godhead, the way that God reveals himself to us. But they were real careful to distinguish. While a persona on stage, you know, if I'm PJ and I'm playing both Bob and Sam, I'm not sort of equally Bob and Sam, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the Godhead, right, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not only the way in which God relates to us. That's called modalism, and it's a heresy. Rather, they're the way that God relates to God.
Relate to God.
They're in the nature of God himself. And so the Father and the Son and the Spirit have these names precisely because that's how they relate to each other. God the Father begetting, fathering the Son into existence. God the Son being sunned into existence.
Being sunned.
And God the Spirit, and that word Spirit is harder for us to see in English, right? But because like inspiration or expiration, right? Spiration, to breathe. So that the two of them breathe the Spirit into being. So the Spirit is literally spirated or spirited. And it's not that there's a moment before which they come into being, but that their very act of being brings about this relationship. And that's really important because that's a lot deeper and more intimate kind of relationship than anything any human being knows on his own. And when we get invited into God's life, that's the intimacy we're invited to. Not just the kind of knowledge or love that we have of other human beings, but to this kind of existence which has existed from all time and in which we're now called to share.
So the preface for the Most Holy Trinity describes beautifully. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, an eternal God.
So this is the opening line for most of the prefaces throughout the year. And the preface of the Trinity used to be the default setting. So there weren't prefaces for ordinary time. If there wasn't a seasonal preface, this is what was said at every Mass. And so this has been said at probably 80% of Masses for all of Christian history.
Beautiful. For with your only begotten Son, the Holy Spirit, you are one God, one Lord, not in the unity of a single person, but in a trinity of one substance.
So we start with the unity of God. The only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit, together with the Father, are not one in their person, but are one in their substance, in their being, in their essence.
So the meaning of the word substance is the essence, the nature?
Yeah, substance. So that word sub is means under. So it's substantia, the under thing. The thing under the thing we see. And so the substance is the thingness of the thing. And so in their godness, they remain one. but in their personhood they remain distinct.
For this is praised by angels and archangels, cherubim too and seraphim, who never cease to cry out each day as with one voice they acclaim. Cry out each day.
That's right. Wow. So you know, the end of the prefaces are drawn largely from the prophecies of Daniel and the vision of the prophet in the temple court, Isaiah and the cherubim. And the reason it's important that we use this here, the reason the church puts these words on our lips just as the church begins the Eucharist proper, is because the angels sing this song and have been singing this song from the beginning to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It's really a cry of Jesus' divinity, so that Jesus is worshipped by the angels. The man who walked the streets of the Galilee is worshipped by angels.
Incredible. So beautiful. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
So the threefold holy, the holy, 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 is directly drawn from the prophecy, right? But it's fulfilled in our understanding of the Trinity. God is three times holy because he is three personed. And then the Benedictus, the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is ultimately a prophecy of Jesus, who comes in God's name as God and man.
Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Savage Power. Join us on Thursday, June 3rd for our 10th annual gala benefiting InterVisions Healthcare. We're thrilled to welcome Benjamin Watson, former NFL tight end and Super Bowl champ, who has an inspiring message about the importance of being the one. Ben, along with his wife and seven children, are great supporters of pregnancy clinics like InterVisions. As a medical nonprofit, all proceeds from the gala support our life-affirming services. We promise it'll be an evening that you'll long remember. For more information, visit IVHcare.org, and thanks for supporting the women and babies of InterVisions Healthcare.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Listen to Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson Friday mornings at 9 on Iowa Catholic Radio or on demand at iowacatholicradio.com and the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
There are millions of children that go hungry every day. Thank you to Skeffington's Formalware for supporting Mary's Meals. Their vision is that every child in the world should be able to receive at least one good meal every day in a place of education. Mary'sMealsUSA.org.
Welcome back to Iowa Catholic Radio. Be not afraid, Father PJ, Father Fabian. Let's move into the Sunday liturgy of the word in this solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, said, "The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, 'All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So this very end of the Gospel of St. Matthew, some scholars want to make a kind of an appendix, a later edition, because it just seems too perfect, like almost a storybook or Hollywood-type ending, where Jesus gives an explicit commission. But the church sees this as really her origins. And this, you know, we do these endless mission statements for parishes to try and focus our work better or make us align with business practices. The truth is, this is the church's mission statement.
Wow.
What's your job? Go and teach all nations, baptizing
them. And make
them
disciples.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like, that's like, this is your job. Go and make disciples. And apart from the archaeological evidence, which shows that this is an original part of the gospel, what's really important for us here is that it makes explicit belief in the Trinity from the beginning. This isn't some sort of later invention. This isn't, you know, Greek philosophy meeting Hebrew prophets or something. This is simply the will of God for the world.
Could we make a small exegesis at the beginning of the gospel when the gospel said the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them? The mountain is the symbol of the eternal Father, designing in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the mission for the church.
So the mountain is always the place where God comes to meet his people. He meets the people on Sinai and makes the great covenant with them. The Lord takes his place on the mountain of the Beatitudes when he gives the new law, when he sort of replaces the old law. And now Jesus meets them on the mountain in his glorified state. And it's from here that he gives the commission to the community that he's formed, to the church, to go and do what he sent them to do.
Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Quotation marks. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." Sending by the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's right. So the sending of the Holy Spirit is what empowers or allows the disciples to share in the work that Jesus was about himself.
Now, it's time of the symbolisms of the Holy Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
So, if the power from heaven symbolized the eternal Father is now present in the Son when he speaks in the name of the Father to his disciples in action of the Holy Spirit. So we can presume, I hope I'm not wrong to say this, I presume the Holy Spirit has been present all the time, not at the end of the time when we send in.
Disciples. Of course. You know, at the moment of the Lord's baptism, the Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove. And so we're able to see, even in the mind of the gospel writers, this is an indicator of something happening from the beginning of Jesus' own ministry. The language of the Holy Spirit is, of course, what's used by the angel to talk to Mary about the miracle that will bring about the child's birth. And throughout the Old Testament, there are references to God's Spirit that were understood understood to be distinct enough from sort of God and his godness, that there was actually a dispute in Judaism around the time of Jesus as to whether God's Spirit was a different thing than God. So an understanding of God's Spirit or God's breath, that's deeply embedded both in Old and New Testament spirituality.
Receive the Holy Spirit and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Also, isn't a clear institution about that, legally about the baptisms in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And the church has been very insistent on that from the beginning. Even in those places in the epistles where they talk about baptism in the name of Jesus, this is not understood as a ritual in the name of Jesus. It's to distinguish Christian baptism in the name of the Trinity from the baptism of John or other purification rituals that the Jews at the time were practicing.
So we can understand the baptisms of the Lord, or better to say, the baptisms from John the Baptist at the river, it's more a purification rite versus the formal institution of the baptism?
Yeah, Jesus wasn't baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That never happened. What he did was he underwent a purification ritual, much like Orthodox Jews still do today to make themselves pure after ritual uncleanness. But he transformed its meaning. And of course, you know, the way the fathers talk about it, right, is that when Jesus when Jesus went down into the waters themselves were baptized. The waters were changed and were thus empowered then to change us as we undergo the same thing he did.
Approaching our ending program, Father, could you please send us your blessing in that Trinity name?
May the peace and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Be not afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you. Join Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Also tune in Sundays at 10:30 a.m. for Be Not Afraid in Spanish on Iowa Catholic Radio. Go forward and be not afraid.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.